All right. I don't have a message today. I have an invitation. You know, most of the time you give a message and then at the end you give an invitation. The whole thing today is an invitation. I've been sent to invite you today. I've been sent to call on you today. Not to call you out, but to call you to something today. And so keep that in mind as we go, that this is one just continuous building invitation for you. All right, now let me be clear real quick, okay? Because we got mixed people in the room. All right? You may be sitting there and you're thinking, I don't know if all this applies to me. If that starts running through your head at any point in this and you say, maybe I'm too old for this. Everybody still breathing in the room? Then you're not too old. All right? That's good news, right? For some of you. We've got a wide range of folks. We got anybody that's over 80 in the room? All right, so we got three people that are over 80. I'm inviting you today. All right, I just want to let you know you're being invited today. What's the youngest person that stayed in the room? We got anybody that's 12? Yeah, we got some 12s. We got some anybody younger than 12? That's T90. What's that, two? One? We got some little, how old are y'all? 11. Nine. I'm inviting you. I'm inviting the one-year-old. He may not realize it yet, but I'm inviting him. So you're being invited. For those of you who maybe you're single moms, you're stay-at-home moms, I have such a heart for you. Oh my gosh. The work that you do is absolutely amazing. Just amazing. And I know sometimes you feel like maybe you've been pulled aside from the world and that you don't get to participate in everything that the world gets to participate in. And I want to tell you today that I'm inviting you too, that this message that I have is not for just those folks who their kids have grown and they can get a little freedom. It's this invitation is for you as well. If you have a child and you're staying at home and you're pouring your life into that child, or if you're a single mom and you're doing it all by yourself, that this message is for you. It's for the educated and it's for the uneducated. Somebody say hallelujah. He was talking to me. Wherever you fit in that, if you're one of the smart ones or you're one of the ones you say, you know what, I just do the best I can, this is for you. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. I've read this before, and I want to come back to it because we cannot miss this point. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And then go over just a couple of chapters to chapter 6, verse 19, and it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, that you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." The invitation today is for you to be one who hosts the very presence of God. Now, for our younger folks in the room, what does that mean when you host someone? When you invite someone over to your house, think about that with me for a minute. When you invite somebody over to your house, maybe you have a friend stay over, young folks, maybe as older people, you invite a person or family over, you become the host. And what is your attention drawn to if you're a good host? The person you're inviting, right? The person that you're hosting, the friend that has come over, your attention is on them. And how can I make things good for them? What do they like? And I'll cook what they like. How can I make the environment where it's just comfortable and they feel at home and they feel welcome here? That's what it means to host someone. And so the invitation is this, that we host the presence of God. I think that we have messed up salvation and that we have somehow led people to believe that salvation is just a ticket to heaven. And if you've got a ticket to heaven, then that's good. And then now you just continue on in life, just doing the best you can or doing what you want to do or whatever. But what you're looking for is just get that ticket and then everything's fine. I'm at a place in my life where the thought of salvation just being a ticket, that does nothing for me. Do I have one? You bet I do. Am I going? You bet I am. But there is so much more that I see to this thing of salvation. Do you see I get to be a host? Do you realize that? I'm calling you to this. I'm calling you to the fact that you get to host the very presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. That is the great news of salvation. Yes, you're going to spend eternity with Him, But what does the salvation mean for you now? What it means for you now is that you get to host his presence, that he's going to come and he's going to fill you and he's going to be in you. And I got to tell you, of all the things that I could do in life, this one's becoming the most important. This is the one that if I mess up anything else, I want to get this one right. I want to host his presence. So let me just be clear. If you entered into salvation and all you thought you got was some kind of ticket to heaven, and now everything that is related to God in your life is past tense, meaning there is no present tense presence in your life, it's incomplete. Salvation has not had its perfect work in you. There is still something to be done. What is it? That you begin to see yourself differently, not as a person who holds a ticket, but as a person who hosts the presence of God. And you say, Lord, you just come and dwell in me. Just come and live in me. I'm here to invite you to something else. This one is important. It's all related. Look at Acts chapter 3. We were there last week. Acts chapter 3. I really, 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 really strongly, strongly, strongly encourage you to go and read Acts 1, 2, and 3, particularly after we're done today. Go back and read Acts 1, 2, and 3. What do you do when you get done? Go back and read it again. What do you do when you get done? Go back and read it again. I would spend some time on it. I would soak and let that thing just maybe now toward till Christmas even, just make that a part of your routine somehow. So now let me get you to make sure you're listening. Are you listening? Everybody's locked into this. All right, I'm going to say something, then I'm going to explain it, okay? I invite you to not try or attempt Acts chapter 3 until you have received the promise of Acts chapter 2. And that you will wait, as in Acts chapter 1, until you get it. All right, I'm going to say that one more time, and then I'm going to explain it. Because you're like, I have no idea what's in Acts chapter 3. And I don't even know what's in Acts chapter 2. So if I don't know 3 and 2, I probably don't know 1 either. So let me set it up for you again. They're listening. I want to make sure y'all are. I don't want you to attempt Acts chapter 3. I don't want you to try to participate in Acts chapter 3 until you have received the gift and the promise of the Holy Spirit found in Acts chapter 2. Even if you have to do like the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and you got to wait on it just a little bit. So I'm not going to do 3 until I have 2, even if I have to wait as in chapter 1. Now, what does all that mean? Take a look at Acts chapter 3. This is what the church longs for. This is what the church is trying to accomplish in the life of the believers. It is the work of the church. It's the beauty of the church. Look at it. It's in Acts. I actually told you Acts chapter 3. It begins in Acts chapter 2, the very end of it. Look at verse 42. This is what the church was known for. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed, they were together and they had all things in common. And they began selling their property and their possessions, and they were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day, those who were being saved. Ooh, that's beautiful. Is that not beautiful? That is the church, folks. If you want to know what the church is like, that is the church right there. But I want you to hear me. Because for so long, what we have done, us meaning us individually, us meaning the church, present day and even in past, is that we have tried to accomplish this without the thing that happened at the beginning of Acts chapter 2. Look at what happens there. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had come, I'm in verse 1, they were all together in one place. Look down at verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how this early church could accomplish what I just read for you, is they did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm scared you're going to think I'm just preaching this morning. You know, it's like, what did Kevin say? I don't know, he's just preaching. I'm doing more than preaching today. I am inviting you to something, and I do not want you to miss it, because for too long, We have established our churches, and we've said, you know what, we'll wait for a minute or two on the Holy Spirit, but if He ain't there, we're going to do it without Him. I literally think that is our mindset, that we literally say, you know what, we'll just go on and do it without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Everything that you read from this point on, the Bible continues to say they did it filled with the Spirit. That person was filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon them. But you see, we've got a bad habit going in churches. We got a bad habit going. And the habit is that we'll try to attempt what I read without the filling of the Holy Spirit. And man, let me tell you, some bad things happen. We realize the need for teaching. Let me show you what I did. I took my Bible. I don't know if some of you write in your Bibles or not. Some of you may think that that's like lightning comes down and strikes you if you write in your Bible. I don't think it does because I've written in mine a bunch, okay? Here's what I encourage you to do, is to go in verses 42 through 47 and to begin to highlight the things that happen when in the church when they become filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to summarize them for you. They committed themselves to teaching. Oh man, how many times has the church tried to teach somebody that didn't want to be taught? How many times have we tried to teach somebody that didn't want to be taught? And so we go through all these different things of how to teach people. And we realize that, you know what? One, they don't want it. And two, we aren't filled by the Spirit. And then when we get done, we go, nothing really happened. And I wonder why. And so what do? We redouble our efforts. We go get us another book. We go get us another study. We go get us something. But what we do not do is wait for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And man, you know what we've produced? We've produced some really intelligent Christians who are not transformed by the Word of God. Fellowship and breaking bread. How many times do we try to get believers to spend time together? And yet, without the power of the Holy Spirit, a lot of times what happens is we see each other every time there's something scheduled on the calendar. And that's as good as fellowship gets. What does fellowship mean? Well, you know, if we have something, I come. No, it was deeper than that. But you can't have deeper than that unless there's something abiding inside of you. Otherwise, everything seems contrived. And you got a room full of strangers praying. Oh, Jesus, any of you ever tried to pray, without the power, without the love of Jesus inside of you, without the presence of the Spirit of God inside of you? Anybody ever tried to do that? Nah, you know why it doesn't work. Yeah, me too. Oh, my gosh. And we teach lessons on it. And we take the model prayer and we break it down into 13 steps. That's why I've never been a 13-step person, y'all. Is because a lot of what we're trying to do cannot be accomplished unless the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And then when He comes, you know, the most natural thing is when He comes and He fills you, you just want to talk to Him. You know, you just got something going on. You're like, Lord, me and You ought to talk about this. You know, something's going on in your life. Before, you were trying to get rid of things in your life, and then all of a sudden God begins to fill you, and you're like, Lord, I messed up. I need to talk to You about this. I remember when, I don't know if Jacob, he's gone. We were helping little Jacob, he's 5. We were helping him to pray, and so he was learning how to pray, and he had that mindset that maybe that God didn't know what went on that day, and so he would tell God everything that went on that day. It was the coolest thing. But one of the little boys in the neighborhood, he fell, and he hurt his arm. And so Jacob was praying. He said, Jesus, Austin fell off his bike today. And he hurt his arm. And he got really muddy, Jesus. And his mama wasn't around. He just told the whole story to Jesus, you know. And I thought, how cool is that? You know, later on, we'll tell him that Jesus knows everything anyway. But you know what? When God gets in your life, there's sometimes you're like, Lord, I know You already know this. But let me tell you what somebody said today. Hurt my feelings. You know, Jesus, let me tell you what happened today. I know You've already seen it, but this happened today. And you know what? I got to talk to You about it. Oh, that's the beauty of prayer when the Spirit of God is on it. There were signs and wonders that were happening. Oh, man, we can't even get the signs and wonders. You know, and in fact, we developed a whole set of theology and philosophy about why God doesn't heal anymore and why there aren't miracles anymore. I wonder why there aren't signs and there aren't miracles. It's because we are trying to do this without that. That's why it doesn't happen, folks. It's not because God quit doing what He used to do. It's because we stopped wanting the very power that caused them to be able to do it. They were selling things. They were sharing things. Oh my goodness, you ever try to take an offering up in the room when people ain't filled with the Holy Spirit? Ooh, Lord, you got to guilt them. You got to manipulate them. You got to bribe them. They feel all of it. They're like, I feel so guilted into giving today. I felt so manipulated by him. Man, when we first got over here, I think for Chris, who's our treasurer, and for me, we were like, man, we are sick to death, and we will not do it. You know? We will not. We will not manipulate, and we will not bribe. We will take what is willingly given from those whose hearts are. They were of one mind. All I see is stuff going wrong. You know, I don't see anything to be thankful about. My life's just a mess. Yeah, it's a mess because you hadn't waited on chapter 2, verse 1 and 4. And it's why you don't know that God is doing anything. And you're never going to be thankful until you're filled with the Holy Spirit inside of you. You're never going to be thankful. The praise team, the best they'll ever be able to do is entertain you. That's the best they'll ever be able to do is entertain you until the Holy Spirit erupts praise inside of you. Until you come into the room and you say, you know what? I'm not here to be entertained today. I'm here to give an offering today. And it's praise. It's my hands. It's my tongues. It's everything I got. And the praise team get up there and they go, what happened today? John D. says, I'm not even changing my underwear. I just want to make sure we keep this the same. You know, kind of like baseball players, you know. I'm not changing my underwear. I'm not shaving. I'm not doing anything. You know, what happened? Don't worry, John D. As soon as we get the Holy Spirit in us filled up, everybody will walk in here with a spirit of praise. It's just natural. You won't have to coach it. You won't have to drum it up. You won't have to stir it up. Man, I promise you that if you skip it, hear me, if we try to skip the filling of the Holy Spirit, then what happens is we'll have to drum up everything. And you'll have to hype up everything. And I can't do it. I'm unwilling. I'm unwilling to do it. I'm at this place in my life that I am so completely unwilling. And so my invitation today is that you would be unwilling also. That you would be unwilling to attempt Acts chapter, the end of 2 and the 3 and beyond. That you'd be unwilling to do that until you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of you, it's why you started Ember. It's because there was something inside of you that said, there's got to be more. There's something maybe in some of you that came and you said, you know what? I can't go on. I've been a part of doing things and I didn't invite God into it and I'm tired. Anybody ever been in a ministry and you tried to do it without the Holy Spirit? You tried to do it on your own power? Oh my gosh. You're like, I am so tired. I am so worn out. Because you do not have the power that Jesus promised if we will wait on the Holy Spirit. When we say, I just don't know if I can parent anymore. I'm so tired. I don't know if I can go to work anymore. I'm so tired. It applies to all of life. Is that it is nothing but fatigue and despair. Until the Holy Spirit breathes on it. And what I'm asking you to do is to not move on until you have been filled. And so I'm inviting you to burn. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? Most of the time we try to keep people from burning, right? You know, turn or burn. That whole, you know, we're trying to keep people from burning. Today, actually, I'm going to encourage you to burn. I'm going to encourage you to burn with the Spirit of God inside of you. In fact, I see we've got two Ember shirts in the room. What does Ember mean? Most of you know a little bit of the story. I wish I could say that I meant to do it, and I did not. This thing just fell in our lap. God brought this thing. In naming this move of God before it was even a church, it was this thing of being able to have a name that would clarify for people what we were supposed to do. All right, so that when you said the name, it reminded you of who you were. And I even remember looking at one of the guys and I said, whatever it is, it's got to be to where we could say, I am one. I am whatever this name turns out to be. It turned out to be Ember, and now we have shirts, and they say, I am an Ember. Because I said, we've got to make sure that people know that they are this thing. We don't go to Ember. You cannot go to Ember. I love the fact that we don't even say, and that's the beautiful thing about being in a shopping center. It makes it really hard to say going to church. It just doesn't feel like it, does it? It doesn't feel like it. Well, you know what? You never could go to church. You were the church. You are the church. You are an ember. So when we talk about coming down here, we say we're going to meet at Ember. You know why? Because this is not a church. We are the church. I am an ember. John Wesley, they asked him, they said, why do people come and listen to you preach, John? And he said, because God sets my heart on fire and people show up to watch me burn. Oh, that's beautiful. John, why do people hang around you, folks? Why would people want to hang around you? Because God has set your heart on fire and people just want to be around you to watch your heart burn. And it's a ember singular. It's not plural. Because today I'm not inviting a room of 3,000. I'm not inviting a room of 300. I really could care less at the culmination of this invitation. That's a lie. I do care, or I wouldn't be talking to all of you. I do care. But if I only get one, it'll be okay. That's the part I didn't realize when we called it ember and not embers, plural, is that I believe God is confirming for us that it really does not take a huge group of people to begin with. It really starts with one person who's willing to let their heart burn. Moses' heart burned for God, and he led an entire nation out of slavery. David's heart burned, and he led an entire nation into worship. Paul's heart burned, and he brought all the Gentiles to salvation. Different people throughout time, their hearts have burned. One of the great pastors, D.L. Moody, he said, I don't think the world has even really seen what it's like for a person to be completely and totally sold out to God. We should attempt to sell ourselves out to God 100%. And so it does not take a ton of people. And so at the end of this invitation, last week I was disappointed. I really was. And God had to correct me because I saw God move on people. And I had this vision of a bunch of people. And I was like, man, this thing is going to turn into a movement. And a bunch of people are going to come down. And I gave the invitation and said, if you need to go, you can go. And everybody got up and left. And I was like, I can't fault them. I told them they could. But you were supposed to stay. They're not staying. And then I went home and I had my lip poked out. I just tell you, I had my lip poked out. And then for 3-4 days, I just had my lip poked out. And I was like, God, I just saw it. I saw people's hearts burning. I saw people getting on fire for you. I saw people saying, I don't want to live any other way. And God said, well, you did. And then he started showing me the people that came up and said, I want this thing that you're talking about. I'm ready. I want to receive the Holy Spirit. I don't want to live the way that I've lived before. And I started seeing the people who had done it the days in the past, the Sunday before and the Sunday before that. And God said, what about them? And I said, that's good. And then later on in the week, he said, you don't need a ton of people. What you need is one person whose heart will burn for me. And they'll set everybody else on fire. That's all we need. Just one person. So I'm not necessarily calling an entire room. I might just be calling one person that right now your heart's stirring and you're willing to burn. You ever seen that thing on television where they put those people in these weirdest of places and they give them nothing and how they're fighting for that fire? You ever seen that? They get a place and it's one of the first things they do. What do? They try to get a fire going. And I watch them with that bow. Come on now, you've seen it. You know. Now don't watch the one where they all naked now, okay? All right. Come on now. Don't watch that one. That messes stuff up, okay? All right. They got that bow and they're going to town. And what do they do? They go, oh, we got a what? No. We got an ember. That's right. We got a spark. We got a coal. Listen to what they say. What do they have? They look down in there and it's so T90 that they put it in the midst of a little bit of moss or whatever they can find that's dry. And they're so excited. And you're sitting there going, I see nothing. They're like, no, you don't see anything because it's just this little T90 little ember inside. And it's super heated. This thing is super hot. Let me tell you about the Christian life real fast. When people get saved, what's the normal thing they say? Ooh, Johnny's just on fire. And then all the other Christians say, yep, just give them time. Could we just make sure we never say that to anybody? Can we? Can we just make a solemn oath today that when somebody receives Christ and they get on fire, that we don't walk up to them and walk up to them with our Holy Spirit water and go and put that fire out? Could we please not? Oh, just give it time. You'll cool off. Just give it time. You'll be dead like all the rest of us. You take that thing. Here's what's supposed to happen. When you receive salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit. He sets your heart on fire. But what we have not told people is that you can spend the rest of your life burning. Did you know that? If you didn't know it, I'm going to tell you today. You do not have to go out. You do not have to grow cold. You can burn forever if you choose to. God starts the fire. Your desire is what will keep it burning. If you want it to burn, it'll burn. That's up to you. And so what happens, though, is that over the course of our life, yeah, there's not this intense fire. A lot of people have said it this way. They say the fire begins to burn off the stuff around us. You know what I'm talking about, right? All the sin and the crud and the junk and how when you first believed there was still stuff in your life, you know, maybe you had just had a potty mouth, right? And then all of a sudden, one day, you just realized that God didn't want that anymore. And when He touched it, it goes away. Because you're like, I just want to get rid of it. There's some other stuff, whatever it might be. And it just begins to go away. God begins to burn it off. And what happens? The fire never goes out, but you do become an ember. You are hot for God. You are consumed by God. You are super heated. And it doesn't take a room full. It just takes one person willing to burn. And then you can take that thing, and all you got to do is just blow on it. And what happens? A fire ignites. And so what happens? Somebody can come into this room. And God begins to blow on us, and they ignite for Jesus. Or, this is the step that we're getting ready to move into, y'all. We're in the midst of transition. I want to go on and tell you. You can take that ember and go, and you can blow it. And whatever it lands on, that'll catch fire too. And so that is our invitation today. And then, just real quick, because you got to get this part. If you receive the invitation, if you receive the calling, then what you're receiving is that the Holy Spirit is both in you and upon you. Say that one time. In me. Upon me. It's both. In me. Upon me. How do I know that? Because in Jesus, we won't turn to it. If you look at the story of Jesus' baptism, it says that the dove descended on him, lit on him. You remember that? And it said that he, right after that, it says that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in John, it says that the dove came and it rested upon him and it remained there. Do you want to know how Jesus did everything that he did? He did it with the Spirit in him and the Spirit on him. You need the Spirit in you and you need him on you. He is in you for your pleasure. He really is. He is in you to fill you up so that everything can be going on in the world. But you know what you have? You have Galatians 5:20. What is that, 2? I always have trouble remembering that. I can say it by heart. Galatians 5:22. Yes. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what you're supposed to have in you. That's what happens when you get full, is that He begins to fill you with those things so that it doesn't matter what goes on around you. Maybe you do lose your job. What do you have? I have peace and I have joy. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in me and I know that He's got this thing. How sweet it is when we are filled with the Spirit instead of having to, everything around me got to line up before I can have any peace or joy. How sad is that? That's the only peace and joy that the world knows. That's the only patience that the world knows, is when everything is going well. When the Spirit of God is in me, I am full and it is well with me. And then, last thing, the Spirit of God is upon me. You okay with a little example this morning? It said that the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus and it rested upon him. And so here's my invitation to you. I want you to be filled so that you can receive the very presence of God in your life. And so that you're full with His love and His joy and His peace and His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, and His self-control. That's good for you. But as Jesus began to minister, he actually said, "The Spirit of God is upon me, and it's upon me for others." Some people have used this idea of the Spirit being upon him as though a dove was on your shoulder. What would you do? You know, if the Holy Spirit literally did descend upon you on your shoulder, what would you do? If you loved the dove, you'd walk with the dove in mind. If you did something, you would do something with the dove in mind. And so I'm representing that by this fire. That when the fire of God falls upon us and we have tasted of God and he is so good that we don't want anything to extinguish that fire. And so we become a carrier. Are you with me? Young people, this is where I want to come back to you. We become a carrier, not only of the presence of God in our lives, but upon our lives. And so everywhere I go with that fire in mind. You see what it just did? I didn't just jump off the stage because I've got the fire in mind, you know? And I want to host the fire. And so I want to take this and I want to honor it because it's precious. That's where you see in Matthew it says that a man would find a treasure and he'd go and he'd sell everything in order that he might buy that treasure. It says that it's like a pearl. When a man finds a pearl, that it's of such preciousness, such value, that he'd go and he'd sell anything that he might have that pearl. That the presence of God, I'm inviting you to become a carrier of the presence of God, that it is so precious that everything we do, we have it in mind. Everywhere we go, we have it in mind. Every word, we have it in mind. I should say him in mind, right? Him in mind. I have him in mind. That's the presence. It's a person. And the way this thing begins to change is this. Guys, this thing has got to get out from here. And so that starts today. So the invitation is for the Spirit to be in you, but it is also to be on you. That way, when you go to work and you see somebody and they're in darkness, well, guess what? You bring a great light. When you meet somebody at school and their heart is cold, it's okay because you're going to bring warmth from the very power of the Holy Spirit with you wherever you go. That whenever somebody needs something, you become the carrier. And this gift becomes so precious that you give your life to it. And you don't have to be a pastor to do that. I've already told you that the two people that I know in my life that love God more than anybody that I know of, they're not pastors. They're actually business people. And they carry this. And they value the presence of God and the person of the Holy Spirit. Am I making any sense? So everything I do. Lately, you guys, it's even changed what I look at. I don't watch as much television anymore. And I'm not telling you that that's got to happen to you. I'm just telling that I got to this place where I'm like, I want that so much. I want the presence of God so much that I'm like, God, I don't want anything to hinder it. And I just realized that there were a lot of stuff in a lot of places and it was not good for me. Just some stuff, right? And it's just not good. And I'm like, ooh, you know what? How in the world could I convince anybody not to look at certain stuff? Not to get involved in certain things. I tell you how. Make this precious. See how precious this is. And then say, you know what? I'll give it all up. I'll stop watching stuff. I'll close my eyes when I go past that billboard. I'll do whatever. But I got to have him. I got to have him. And when he is the most important thing, it's amazing how many things you can let go of. And then when he's in the most important thing, then he becomes the thing on your lips. He's the thing that you want to give away. So here's the invitation. Can y'all put that song up for me? Oceans. We're transitioning to where we will be people who are filled with God. That's what we long for, just being full. Some of you are like, I don't know what my purpose is in life. Some of you young people, you're going to say, I don't know what my purpose is. I just gave it to you. Some of you are old and you're like, I don't know if I'm fulfilling my purpose or not. I just gave it to you. That's your purpose. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Carry His presence. That's your purpose. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to do this thing or that thing. Carry Him. Are you willing to host His presence? Are you willing to carry His presence? I was sent here to invite somebody, and I'm going to call you out, and I'm going to ask you to come. And I'm not looking for anybody who's not serious. And I know you don't know what you're getting into, but it doesn't matter. If your heart is for God, you say, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere, but I got to host His presence. 80 years old, 12 years old, 7 years old. How cool would it be for our young people? I had a prophetic word over me years ago, and it said, Kevin, you will run, but the generation, it said, Kevin, you will walk, but the generation behind you, they will run. I've always thought of my son and the Britons and the Samuels and the young people. And I thought, how cool is that? That if Kevin would walk, that Britton could run. That Kevin's son could run. That Samuel and Matthew could run. That all you other young people, that you could run. And then this past week, I thought about this. But nobody said I just had to walk. What if Kevin runs? Then maybe Britton can fly. You know? And so I'm committing my life to it. So we got one ember, and I'll do it alone if I have to. But God sent me to see if anybody else would heed the call and if you'd come. And I'm going to tell you to step out, because if you can't step out today, you probably can't do anything else tomorrow. Right? And so I'm praying for boldness for anybody that would, to step out and say, I will host the presence of God, and I will allow Him to be in me and upon me. And if you come, I'm just going to pray, lay hands on you, and pray the Holy Spirit just message you, slam up. If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.